Monique Mahi-Pihema is with us from Ngāti Whātua, Monique. And today we're talking about Māori roles in the FIFA Women's World Cup that concludes this weekend in Australia. But you've got to say that our country have embraced the tournament in ways that maybe many didn't expect, myself included. I thought they'd struggle for numbers, but our stadia have been swamped. People have been really enjoying it. And that's even though the New Zealand squad were eliminated some time back. It's been a really riveting tournament. And Monique and Māori Wahine actually, in many ways, have been at the forefront of the World Cup, particularly in the pre-opening match and the last match played, which was on Tuesday night. And Monique's kindly reflecting on the Māori contribution to the FIFA promotion. Thanks for joining us, Monique. Tēnā koe.
Oh, tēnā koe, Dale. Tēnā koutou te iwi.
Pretty special. We were involved in the opening and closing a cultural side of the presentation, and the tohu Māori, the Māori flag was flown proudly too, right throughout the tournament. Monique, you watched it as I've just described. Perhaps we were slow on the uptake, but once the tournament got going, it seemed it caught all of us across the country in its grip, and it's been quite a wonderful celebration of Wahine sport. What have you enjoyed most about it and the sort of cultural dimension to it?
Yeah, I think definitely. Well, as you know, Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei is the tangata whenua of Central Tāmaki. As soon as FIFA World, Women's World Cup rocked up on our shores here in Tāmaki Makaurau at Ngā Anawai, Eden Park, we jumped at the task to culturally welcome and oversee the kaupapa in our city. And I think what it did was provide the opportunity to showcase our iwi's narrative, but also te ao Māori as a whole. And they were really open and receptive to that. So that was great to see.
Tēnā koe. Tell us about the connections here, because at first we were thinking that the FIFA organisers, and they're global, this is a template that they lay across when they host tournaments, that they might not have had the intimate connections with tangata whenua that have played out, and likewise with our sisters from the Indigenous communities of Australia. So what would you say of the way that they reached out to understand us better and to give us centre stage as we deserve, Monique?
Yeah, definitely. Working with FIFA has definitely been an experience, and as you can imagine, FIFA are a well-oiled machine, and so there have been some interesting conversations around how te ao Māori, our tikanga, and the reo must be prioritised and made prominent throughout this kaupapa. But also FIFA brought with them, you know, just an opportunity to showcase our narrative and te ao Māori to an international audience, which I think after the opening, we went back to our changing rooms. They said that there were 2 billion viewers. So that was just amazing.
When you say, Monique, there were interesting conversations, you know, we need to stand our ground too, don't we, and put a pole in the ground regarding our cultural norms, our expectations, the use of our reo, etc., issues of that nature. How accommodating were they to what, in a sense, in that way, is a very serious conversation? Were they demanding of us, or did they sit back and listen carefully to what we were saying and then find some middle ground?
Yeah, I think it was more there were challenges with their cultural advisors, and so once we actually got in the room with them, they were really open to hear and understand what was required in terms of our tikanga, our reo, our narratives, and just the processes. So once we got into the room with them, they were really keen. We did kind of encourage them that if they do this in the future here in Aotearoa, to just go directly to the tangata whenua, who will lead and guide them the best way forward.
One of the standouts was the karanga, obviously. I mean, we are used to it, but it performs such an important role. It's not an add-on, is it, at the back end? It's central to our ways. Talk with us about some of your most memorable experiences as we acknowledge the wrapping up from our end anyway of the co-hosting responsibilities. What stands out? What still sticks in your mind?
What sticks in my mind was probably hosting the iwi taketake o te whenua moemoea, the whānau from Australia, because they had a kuia in there. Her name was Nukana Norris, Miss Norris. She is the last reanga of her kind, the last of her generation. She had an interpreter with her because she doesn't speak Te Reo Pākehā. She only speaks her language, which was just beautiful. And she was going into her 80s, her age. So being able to host her here at Orake Marae alongside our eldest kaumātua, Danny Tumahai, who was 93, was just beautiful, beautiful to see. So that was, we felt that, you know, that was our, we were definitely honoured to be in her presence. And she was a part of that opening. I guess also the other thing was, although we only had 5 days' notice for that closing with the poi, we were able to pull together 31 of our wahine, including our rangatahi, right through to our pākeke, and they were all our rangatahi and whānau of the kāinga, of the papakāinga here in Orake. And, yeah, with five days' notice, I don't think we did too bad.
I think you did. Wonderfully and beautifully hosted. You know, anyone watching from far-flung places would know that they're watching something from NZ or Aotearoa, wouldn't they? It had a distinct flavour that you just can't find anywhere else, Monique.
Yeah, definitely. We had our waiata, we had our kai waiata, Magic Paura, our waiata, Tamaki Heringa Waka, and that's exactly what the kaupapa was about, bringing together the many wakas, the many people, and the whole nation together.
Been wonderful talking with you again. Thanks so much. All the best, Monique, and congratulations on the input to what's been a very successful co-hosting.
Tēnā koutou.
Ngā mihi. Monique, mahi pihema, Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei. And